Monday, February 3rd, 2025, Board of Commissioners meeting at 3 p.m.
Into order.
How are you?
Good, how are you doing?
Start with Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Go ahead and take roll.
Marty?
Yep.
Rogelio?
Yep.
Brian?
Present.
Rick?
Yes. I'd like to make a motion to excuse Jeff Reed.
Second.
Go ahead.
Second.
Rogelio?
Yep.
Brian?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
A current copy of the Open Meetings Act is posted on the west wall near the entrance of the county board meeting room and is available for review by all citizens in attendance. Does anybody have anything they want to speak on that's not on today's agenda? If you do, now would be the time. Lou.
Good afternoon. My name is Lou Franco. I live at 618 Highway, South Pacific, Nebraska. Okay, so I brought this agreement with me for the South Sioux City and Dakota County Law Enforcement Co-location Agreement. And I just have a couple of questions concerning it. Now here it says on Article 5 on the general terms is that any article, product item or of equipment or service that exceeds $5,000 in cost and is to be purchased from joint law enforcement center funds must have the prior approval of the governing body. Now, a couple months ago, you know, Eddie Mahan was in here and he was bringing for $77,000 for some improvements and bringing it to the board and he took it to the city. Okay, but now, so that was over $5,000. Now, one of the questions I have is on the LEC, LEC cost share for Dakota County, they pay, now that it's half, because in the contract it says the city's to pay half and the county's to pay half. So it says here, I went through December of 2004, and of course it goes backwards down to January of 2004, and they all exceed $50,000. One exceeds it by just $11.25, but there's also one here for $64,411.25. And then I went through and I got all of the city claims where they pay for payroll and LEC expenses. Okay, so first I'll talk about the $50,000 a month that the Dakota County Commissioners pay. So that's gonna come up a minimum of $100,000 to run that LEC a month. I don't believe it costs that. Can't cost $100,000. But anyway, if you can prove it to me and I'm wrong, I'll eat it. Okay, so then it says here, on number six here, and it pretty much goes through the whole thing. This is Law Enforcement Center Board. It talks about the board and it talks about different committees who's selected. Okay, here it says, number six, on Law Enforcement Center Board. It says Dakota and city each agree to appropriate funds in each fiscal year for the operation of the center in accordance with the budget for the center as approved by both governing parties. Now, what they're supposed to do is go back to the previous year, each fiscal year, so they're supposed to go back to the fiscal year and kind of guide their budget according to that. Well, according to this, they haven't. They've just thrown in there at least $50,000 a month. It's only half. And then, okay, so then I'm not going to take a whole lot of time because there's a lot of stuff here, but just the main things that I question. So here on the city's claims, they claim that, this is a 12-month year 12 months in a year.
Yep.
They have, in 2024, they have 20 payrolls. They've paid 20 payrolls. Some months have two payrolls paid out of this. Now, I'm not sure on the dates how they do this, but that seems like it shouldn't be any more than 12.
I don't have any idea how this is.
That's all right. I got it. It's
they're bi-weekly, though, I believe. That's why there's more.
Well, whatever. Okay, so then they have... the LEC, let me find that real quick, and I'll find one here. Let me get one for this one here. Now, this is for the LEC, LEC claims, okay? So this one, for instance, now I copied each month, so I've got each month of the claims for the payroll and the claims for the LEC. Okay, so this one says LEC. This one has check number, must be claim, check number 263893, so that's one. And then, so there must be several claims on this at 263898, so there's several claims. But see, now to me, they should have, just like some of these other ones, if there's more than one claim, they have it added up and then the row of what the amount is. But they do not have anything on the LEC claims. It's just blank. Which I think it's important that they show that, because I still don't believe that it costs $100,000 to run that LEC. No, maybe it does. But anyway, those are my concerns about this, and I would like to see the documents. So now the county should have these documents. Is that correct?
Which documents? What we pay per month to the LEC board?
You should have everything if it's the agreement.
Yeah, we don't have any of South Sioux's, but yeah, we would have our portion. Huh? The LEC, it goes to the LEC board.
Okay, so there's an LEC board and there's six members, correct? Three from the city, yeah. Three from the county. Okay, so the board should have them. The LEC board should have all the documents.
I would think so.
Okay.
Is there a director of the LEC?
There's not a current director.
So Pat Faust was the director at one time, and Pat was paid so much out of the LEC budget of the city and the county. So I don't know, just getting back on, I don't know the particulars, but I know on that LEC budget there's health insurance and stuff for the staff. And
just for the LEC, though.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
All the dispatchers.
Yeah. Right, I know.
Any of the utilities, any of the equipment upgrades and such like that is shared between the city and the county.
I understand that. Yeah. Okay, so...
But you should be able to go to the LEC, and whoever's facilitating those meetings should have all the accounts and stuff.
Well, it says here that
there should be the claims, and there should be a ledger of all the bills and what's been paid by month.
Okay, so there's a board. It says all decisions concerning the physical structures of the joint law enforcement center and the grounds on which the center is located, personnel and staffing for the center, and approval for payment of expenses shall be made by a board to be known as the law enforcement center board, hereafter referred to as the board. So I should be able to go to the board and get this, right? The board shall be responsible for repairs, upkeeps, replacements, and general maintenance of the physical structures, grounds, and all furnishings and support equipment. The board shall consist of six members. Three members shall be appointed by the Dakota County Board of Commissioners, and three members shall be appointed by the South Sioux City Council. The members may be members of a respective governing body and shall not be professional law enforcement officers. So, I shouldn't have to go to the city. I should be able to get this from my county, being it's county taxpayers' money, so it should be available. You know, when Ted was, when Ted and Lance were on the the when they built the jail, they were responsible for all the documents. Ted and Lance, equally. One from the county, one from the city.
When they built the LEC?
No, no. When they built the jail. Okay. I'm going back to how this should be run. When they built the jail, Lance should have had all the copies, and Ted should have had all the copies here, because they were in charge of all the records. So it was taxpayers' money from the city and the county with this state, with this agreement for the jail, the contracts for the jail. So when Betty was commissioner, I'm sure some of you remember Betty. See, Ted wouldn't give me any documents unless I came in with Betty, and Betty got documents from Ted, supposed to get documents from Ted. Ted didn't have the documents here, where the city was on an equal basis, or the county was on an equal basis with the city. So Ted had to go to the city and get the file. You shouldn't have to do that. The file should be here. If it's taxpayers' money for Dakota, when they're paying $50,000 a month, it should be available to the taxpayers here. So that's all I'm requesting, is to have a copy of all this stuff here. So if somebody in the public wants to look at the public records, they can do that. Thank you for your time.
All right, thank you. Anybody else? All right, consent agenda items. Approval of the previous minutes, January 21st. Approval of payroll claims from January 19th through February 1st. Approval of payroll accounts payable claims. Approval of monthly accounts payable claims. And approval of quarterly veteran service officer report. I came in earlier, went through payroll. Everything appears to be in order. Also have a meeting with the veteran service officer last week. Their standard oversight committee went through his reports. Seems like they are doing a great job with the veterans of Dakota County. And everything seemed to be in order in his report.
I'd like to make a motion to approve the consent agenda items A through E or D. E.
So moved. Second.
Brian?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Helio?
Yep.
Next, new business. Aaron Clark, Next Link Internet, to present update on the build-out progress of broadband development in Dakota County. How you doing?
Good. Thanks for having me. I'm Aaron Clark with Next Link Internet. We're an internet service provider in the Midwest.
Is your office out of Jefferson?
We have a location just over in Sioux City.
Okay.
We've also got one in Norfolk.
Okay.
Lincoln, I think we're up to 7 in Nebraska with the newest out in Scottsbluff. So.
All right, I'll quit interrupting you. Let's get on the roll.
I think I recognize some of you guys from the NACO conference. Yeah. But anyway, just wanted to give you guys a quick update. There's three major government funding programs, two of which have already been awarded or in the build-out process. The first was the CAF, Connect America Fund program. That one's in its final year, just finishing stuff up. We've got quite a few locations we've connected all over the county, and it's part of that program. RDOF, Rural Digital Opportunity Fund, was the next one. That one's about 20% built out right now. We expect we'll hit 40% completion this year, and again, there's quite a few locations here. The next program is the one that's still in the process of being awarded, and that program is called BEAD. I'm sure you guys, at least some of you guys, yeah, have heard of that. Nebraska's got around $450 million in broadband funding to help bring connectivity to those that are either unserved or underserved. It's defined by how much broadband speed is available at their location. So this one's different. All the other programs have been essentially a pool of money that's available, and a provider will come to the given, you know, organization that's managing each one respectively and say, I want to build this cluster of homes or this town or whatever the case may be. This one's a little different. What happened here is the federal government gave basically the states the authority to dictate how that money was allocated, and then they've further given the county some control over essentially accepting or denying some of those programs. What the state decided to do, rather than leaving it up as a free-for-all, they divided all of the eligible locations into 90-some projects that are predefined. So I can't come and say I want to do this half of this county,
yeah.
I can say I can come bid on this predefined project.
So there's 93 counties. Does that mean that each Dakota County would be its own project, or is there overlap?
That'd be fun. Some of them, there's five or six projects that okay. overlap a single county. In your case, there is a cluster. It's basically around Dakota City, another cluster around Homer and a couple little spots. But that same project goes three counties to the west as well.
Okay.
So that one project to connect those locations includes all of those other projects all the way over to Pierce County. So basically what that means is that whoever's interested in participating in that is going to have interest in a bunch of different areas. We already have coverage in a lot of those areas. We don't have an exact timeline on when this is going to be coming through or when the bidding opportunities will open. At the NACO conference, they estimated in April some of this would be opening up, but you know, the last 2 weeks, there's been an article every other day about whether the whole program's canceled or now it's back on or now they're going to revise it. The federal government's going to dig into it and see if they want to make changes. So it might be April, it might be next year. Whenever it happens, there will be essentially three rounds of review by the State Broadband Office. They're going to first look at all the applications that are fiber only, and they're going to see how many Nebraska locations they connect with fiber-only applications. If there's locations that aren't served by those or where nobody bid on them, which is totally possible, some of these are very far apart and the cost of fiber is going to be extremely high, the next round will be wireless projects. So we do both. We do a ton of fiber. You probably heard Emily at the NACO conference was talking about the Gage County project. Mm-hmm. We connected 1,000 rural homes and acreages with fiber, 2 gigabit fiber over the last 2 years, 480 miles of fiber for that project alone.
Wow.
We also did 5 villages as part of the NBBP grant that were completed towards the end of last year, and we have service throughout a lot of this area already. So we'll be very interested in doing that. As part of that, the county will have an opportunity to provide a letter of support to any provider that is interested in doing a project. We'd like to have your support when the time comes if everything works out as planned.
And phase two, you said this year would be 40%. Does that mean that project, phase two, is going to continue on then into the future?
So the RDOF program is a 10-year program, but you have 6 years to deploy it. You basically mm-hmm. have to get to 20% in the first 2 years and then okay. 20% a year after
okay.
that. And the federal government made some changes to that last year because there was so much supply chain bottleneck that they ended up basically shifting it around. But we still have to be at 40% deployed by the end of this year in okay. Nebraska.
All right.
Anyway, just wanted to make sure you guys are familiar with that and make sure you see it coming so you're not surprised when somebody comes with a checkbook. So.
All right, thank you.
I'll give you guys some business cards too. All right,
great. Questions.
Do you have access to the BEAD map to see the coverage areas and all that?
Yeah, we have a map in our handout.
Okay. I'll make sure you get a link to the state's website too.
Okay.
You can actually drill down and see which yeah. houses are part of that program. Thank you. I'll get out of here.
Thank you. All right, appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you. Brent. Brent Neese, Summit Carbon Solutions, giving us a board update on Summit Carbon Solutions project.
How are you guys all doing?
Good.
It's been a little bit since I've been in here. Figured it's kind of time to give a little bit of an update with it being a new year, kind of give a progress update.
Okay.
If you have extra
yeah, that'd be great.
Yep. So again, my name is Brent Neese. I'm a project manager with Summit Carbon Solutions. With me today is Ben Fuller with Turnkeys, one of our relationship managers. Like I said, just kind of giving an update where we're at in Dakota County specifically, but also across the other 5 states. So as it sits in Dakota County right now, we have a CUP tabled at the planning and zoning. So kind of with discussions with them, as well as some of the other counties in Nebraska, we'd started our permitting process in the states and the counties at the same time, just to be running these parallel paths together. And the state processes do take a little bit longer than a county process. So kind of the feedback that we got from most of the Nebraska counties were, we don't necessarily want to be the first movers on this project. You know, can we table this or wait until we essentially have a Iowa state permit before moving forward? We thought that was completely reasonable. It was either that or we were going to have conditions in the CUP regardless that said this project cannot take place until you have your mainline permits, which, again, with Nebraska being a lateral of the mainline, that also made a lot of sense from our perspective. So as it sits right now, we do have an Iowa Phase 1 permit, a North Dakota state permit, a North Dakota sequestration permit, and a Minnesota for the top portion there permit. So currently waiting for our South Dakota mainline permit to go through as well. But, you know, we originally said we're going to wait for Iowa. We kind of waited for two additional state permitting process to kind of be finalized before we decided to come back in. And now we're just kind of at the time we're saying we'd like to essentially pick it back up, just because from the timeline perspective, when we have all of our permits, we want to start building until we have all of them. And we didn't necessarily want the last one to be from the Nebraska county side, so we could start building all together, if that made sense.
Yeah.
And I've got more, but I didn't know if you guys had any questions specifically, just at least for any of the other states.
Have the other people that were in that business, have most of them fallen away, or there's...
I guess what business?
Yeah, that we're looking at doing a carbon pipeline.
So there were two other projects associated with it. That was Navigator, who was a Nebraska-specific as well. And then there was a Wolf one who was more Iowa and Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
So the Navigator one and the Wolf one have essentially decided that they're no longer going to pursue it, as they were waiting for the long lead times for permits as well.
Yeah.
So with us having our sequestration permit, that was a big reason why the one kind of said we don't have enough time for Illinois, and Navigator as well with some of the uncertainty. And that's why we did pick up the Poet and Valero plants, which were the big, I'd say they did have other partners with Navigator, but those were their biggest partners, and we've picked those up with Summit at this time. So we originally started off our project with just three of them here in Nebraska. That was the CIE plant in Norfolk, and then we had the Husker Ag plant there in Pierce County, and then it was the Atkinson Green Plains, but now that is also Husker Ag. So we had those, but now we are also going down to Boone County to get the Valero plant there. So like I said, as of right now, you guys do have that CUP/ordinance that you had enacted that had certain stipulations regarded to the construction practices as well as a setback for the pipeline. So before we had gone through our original phase of submitting the CUP, we made sure we were in compliance of that. And once we were able to meet all the requirements of that, obviously some of those are construction, so we'll be, as we would actually be building. But once we met the pre-construction requirements, that's when we kind of went ahead and submitted it. So currently just sitting there, and we just intended to pick it up. And again, wanted to see from at least the commissioner side if there was more information that you think would be appropriate, or more information that you thought you would like to see either on your end or either from a public perspective. Because last year we did have public safety tours that we did in each of the counties. We did two here in Dakota County specifically, where individuals could come in, ask questions. There was actually individual stations where if any landowners or even interested parties had questions, we would walk them around and kind of answer those. And prior to us actually having a public hearing at planning and zoning or the commissioner level, we planned to actually hold a dispersion presentation with the first responders, but also any elected officials or planning and zoning would be welcome at that meeting.
Good.
It is a little bit of a lengthier presentation, usually about hour to an hour and a half, because we show, you know, here's the what the science is behind the technology we use for that plume model, dispersion model, and then we actually show the specific maps for Dakota County, so you can get an understanding of what that specific distance kind of looks like, and, you know, if there would be a situation where there'd be a release. And again, it's kind of about training the first responders. We do have a PHMSA requirement, so we are federally regulated, that says before you would ever go into operation, you must do X, Y, and Z with first responders. But this is kind of a pre-meeting to that. So there would be a bigger one outside of this training, but this is, we've gotten questions from people that say, you know, CO2 isn't something that we've been as familiar with. Maybe our first responders don't know. Could you come in and show them? So it's something that we'll be working with your emergency manager on, and like I said, the commissioners would be invited to attend as well. Like I said, outside of that, even from the other permits that we have, one thing I do like to point out, are you guys familiar with Tallgrass at all? They usually operate more in the southern part of Nebraska. So they're actually currently building a CO2 pipeline. So they were an old natural gas pipeline that they're refurbishing for a CO2 pipeline, but they've also got new pipeline that they're building out for that. So you know, a lot of times we get questions on, you know, is this too early to me moving through with this process? And that's why I like to kind of say, you know, we have permits, state permits and other ones, and there's also a CO2 pipeline being built in your specific state hooking up to ethanol plants. We're just here in the northern part compared to the southern
So
part.
Is that line eventually going to hook into your line, or is it going to continue all the way north, or what is their plan?
Yep, so how ours differs from theirs, so they are on the southern end going to Wyoming, and ours, we're connecting to the Iowa one going to North Dakota. I'm not at that level, but there's no plans to connect at this time, just with different sequestration locations and us, you know, being separate entities now, whatever the case, I don't know, I'm not on that side, but it's just, I think they already had their pipeline in place and they had a sequestration location. So they're hooking up with, I believe, the one in Columbus. They've got a couple Green Plains plants there in, you know, York County, Merritt County, those ones. So just ethanol plants that have hooked onto their system, but they are actively building. So again, just showing people that this isn't something that's kind of been, you know, we're not trying to push it through. It's kind of been a couple of years in the making, but want to make sure that you guys have been in the loop as we're going forward and didn't want to seem off base if you hear, hey, we're starting to move forward with that CUP process, because we are trying to take as much feedback as possible. And like I said, once we get that dispersion model essentially set up with the emergency manager, I can pass that date along to you guys and
hopefully you'll be able to.
But like I said, I have a few more things, but is there any questions on kind of any of that? I didn't know, like I said, any expectations. Just want to make sure that we're communicating with you guys. In the handouts, it's kind of the last thing I'll touch on. Just have a couple things there. We have the tax information specific to the county. You know, we have, it's a 12-inch pipeline proposed for Dakota County with 18 miles of pipeline. So we always put the proposed tax dollars associated with that. You know, it's $874,000, and that's usually based upon the miles of pipeline you have in a specific county. And usually from our side, it's going to be from the construction costs as well as a revenue basis pushing forward off of that and what we would pay annually. As well as we get asked a lot, what is the, you know, President Trump coming in? Does that do anything for the project? We have some information related to that just because there are people in the cabinet associated with biofuels, and there's a big push for biofuels in the future under his, you know, umbrella, we'll call it. And we've seen in the past, even Democrat or Republic, we've kind of seen this agenda get pushed forward regardless, as well as there's additional FINRA regulations that had been proposed or at least talked about. So if you wanted a kind of summary of what those looked like, I put that in there. And then lastly, the sustainable aviation fuel, just kind of I would say an exciting emerging industry for a lot of these ethanol plants and why we want to continue to work with them as well as give them a viable option. So, like I said, I'm sure a lot of you have heard about this, and when I've been here in the past, obviously there's a couple new faces, but regardless, there's been information we like to pass along. If there's additional information, don't hesitate to reach out. Like I said, Ben will likely come in here and give additional updates now that we're kind of ramping it back up. But like I said, we had been asked previously to kind of, let's wait till we get an Iowa permit, and we wanted to make sure that we were, you know, being cognizant of that. That's all I got for you guys.
Very good. Anybody got any questions?
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, guys.
And Kim is not going to be here.
I just grabbed one.
Kim Hansen is home with a sick child, so she will not be here. So we'll skip down to D. County Treasurer requesting Board Approval Resolution 25C-002, releasing pledged securities.
Hello there.
Hello.
United Bank Trust is requesting that I release one of the pledges of $2 million.
Kind of a standard thing we do is money comes in and money goes out?
Yep. So
I'd make a motion to approve Resolution 25C-02, releasing pledged securities.
Second.
Can I ask a question?
You bet. Absolutely.
So on those pledged securities, where does the bulk of that money go?
Most of the stuff is we're securing money for real estate, so we're covered for the real estate processes when they come in yearly. But we didn't have as much real estate come in this last fall.
Real estate taxes.
Yeah, so we don't need it. It's just extra security.
Okay, so we're just releasing that. Mm-hmm. Who are we releasing it to?
Union Bank and Trust.
Union Bank and Trust?
Mm-hmm.
And is that a payment, or is that money that...
It's extra insurance to cover any funds or anything that we may need.
So it's kind of a slush fund?
I wouldn't call it a slush fund, no.
It's a bank account?
It's not an account. It's just pledges securing our accounts.
Okay.
It's just insurance on our money. It's insurance on our money.
Yes, it's insurance.
The county's money.
Yes, basically.
But it's actually dollars. No?
No, it's not. It's just insurance covering our money that we have in the bank.
Okay.
Anything else?
No.
All righty.
Roll call. Rick?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Rogelio?
Yes.
Brian?
Yes.
Board to approve Resolution 25C-003, rescinding Resolution 25C-001. As Jeff Reed is already on the Rural Fire Agency Board. We talked a little bit about that beforehand. Jeff was going to go on as a commissioner, and they looked to fill that spot for somebody else from the Rural Fire District. Nobody really wanted to step up and do that. So Jeff is going to stay on as the Rural Fire Agency Board and not doing it as a commissioner. And we'll go ahead and on the next resolution, that I'll take his place as the commissioner that is on that board. So the resolution is to take Jeff off of the Rural Fire Agency Board.
I'll
motion.
Make that motion.
Go ahead.
Okay. I'll make that motion.
Second.
Marty?
Yep.
Rogelio?
Yep.
Brian?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Which takes us to approve Resolution 25C-04 to make the appointment of Commissioner County Representative in to the Governing Board of Dakota County Public Safety Service Agency, myself, Martin Hohenstein.
So moved.
Second. Go ahead.
Rogelio?
Yep.
Brian?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep. Next, we have Andrew Forney, D.A. Davidson, requesting approval of Resolution 25C-005, approving, adopting, ratifying, and affirming the execution of lease purchase agreement with NACO Leasing Corporation with regard to a wheeled loader and a road grader at a cost of $684,203.47.
Yeah, thanks for having me back out.
Yeah.
It's good to see everyone. My name is Andy Forney with D.A. Davidson, and we administer the NACO lease purchase program where NACO maintains the leasing corp that allows us to access capital markets for things like wheel loaders and motor graders. So that's one of the reasons we were able to get the interest rates lower than you typically would, because they're tax-exempt rates. So 4.5%, you know, it looks higher than it did 2 years ago when we were doing these, but historically speaking, 4.5 is really pretty good. So I've got I don't know if Jolene's here, but I did do one loan. This is one loan, but I have pages in here where I break out the debt service for both pieces of equipment. So that was an added convenience for us to be able to just do one financing. I think that makes it a little more attractive to buyers too when it's a little bigger. So, but I did break it out. And Sherry, I'll send you the final amortization schedules once this is approved. And I didn't want to print it off as 25 pages because I separated it out. So
okay.
I just printed out a small version here. So
correct me if I'm wrong. If over the course of time, say it drops a point or two, a couple points, there is a point to where you can refinance.
Absolutely.
Because we've done that in the past, I know. So
yep. Yeah, we typically watch all of your bonds for opportunities to refinance. I know we did one of those, I think when we did the highway bonds, we just kind of did an analysis of everything. Even though it's a good exercise, even though rates have gone up, but I think we'll continue to watch everything for you. And yes, you know, on this one, for example, so the thing with a smaller financing that we always are cognizant of, we want to make sure we take into consideration the cost of issuance. So sometimes it doesn't make sense to refund the smaller ones just because you know, you pay the attorney's fees again, you pay Davidson's fees again. But we'll always watch them.
Good.
So you can open that. Do you open that up on a quarter or if you want to refinance? How does that work? Is it, can you do it once a year, twice a year?
So the bonds that we've done, it's typical in Nebraska to have a five-year call option. That's what we've done for most of the bonds, if not all of them. And that means any time after that five-year promise that we gave investors, you can pay them off in $5,000 increments. So, you know, you could pay down a little bit, you could pay it all down, you could refinance. With these NACO lease purchase, it's nice. There's a provision in there that says we can refinance anytime. So if rates were to drop in July, we could refinance this in July if we wanted to. Who knows? It's a possibility. Rates could come back down a little bit. But it says in whole, not in part. So they ask that we don't pay down, you know, an extra $10,000 here, just because they'd have to reamortize it with the bank, and that's a lot of work for them.
Yeah.
And knowing that, they're willing to give us a little better rate that they don't have to keep doing it on their books. So, but yeah, it refinances at any time in full on all of the NACO lease purchases that we've done. So.
All right. Well, I sure appreciate you coming in.
Yeah.
Yes. I'd make a motion to approve the Resolution 25C-005, ratifying and affirming the lease purchase agreement that we have with NACO Finance.
Second.
D.A. Davidson.
All right. Brian?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Rogelio?
Yep.
And I printed two of these off. I've got a return envelope, so if you want to keep one, then just drop the other one and mail me.
All right.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thanks again.
Yeah,
Where's your office located?
We have Columbus, Lincoln, and Omaha.
But where are you out of?
I'm out of Omaha.
Okay.
Yep. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks. Approve renewal of Employee Assistance Program contract for services between Dakota County and Mercy One Occupational Health effective March 1st, 2025 to March 1st, 2026. And continue offering 6 counseling sessions at $2.06 per employee per month.
They didn't change that.
The price is the same. I'd make a motion to approve that and for sure.
Second.
All right. Rick?
Sure.
Marty?
Yep.
Rogelio?
Yep.
Brian?
Yes.
Approved planning and zoning membership appointments. One appointment in the following geographical area: Village of Hubbard, Rural Village of Homer, and Village of Jackson for 3-year term, February of 25 to February of 28. In Homer, we have an application. Harold Moss. I know Harold, he's got some background in building. I don't know. I think he would have a good working knowledge of a lot of the things that they talk about out there. For the for Hubbard, it's Ron Collins. Served with him on the Veterans Oversight Committee, and he seems like a very conscientious guy. And then Jackson, Ron Gill. Ron has served before and always done a good job. So those are the applicants that we have for those three positions. Take a few minutes just to look through them.
We got 3 positions and 3 applicants?
Yeah.
They're all 3 good.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
So I'll make a motion to approve the 3 applicants.
I'd second that.
Earl Bose, Ron Gill, and Ronald Collins.
Marty?
Yep.
Rogelio?
Yep.
Brian?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes. Old business. Jolene, Highway Superintendent.
We had 89 hours on maintaining, 9 hours running the magnet, 85 hours hauling in gravel. We hauled in 1,440 tons, and that completes what we needed out there for the MAP project.
Nice.
So we got that all
done.
And that's about it. With it really cold, was it 2 weeks ago?
Mm-hmm.
We did a lot of stuff in the shop. Last week they tried to get out and grade where they could, when we could. The motor grader looks like we should have in the first part of April, and the loader mid-April.
Okay. Sounds good. The situation with the water west of Homer on K Avenue.
Oh, yeah.
When Jeff gets back, could Jeff and Brian meet with you and actually show them that project?
Okay.
I know it's something that you could just go forward and, you know, kind of send something out on, but it'd be nice. I know Jeff is interested kind of in the process, and Brian, I'm sure, would love to get out there and take a look at it.
Absolutely.
So when they get back, just schedule a time with them and have them take a look at it, and then we'll go forward with that.
Okay.
It's a drainage deal, Rick. There's a situation where there was a waterway that had come down, and then it went into another waterway underneath the county road. Well, a landowner had put a catch basin where the water goes in and like 1,000 foot of underground line, but the catch basins are in the county right away, and if somebody went off the road, it would definitely be an issue.
And I have been sending in the last month, if you guys, I know Cherie, sent them to you, Chris, and Kim, the fence along the sides of the roads, the rocks. I just sent another one. Somebody cut trees and just left them lay. But everybody so far has been very responsive. Good. Talked, ready to take care of the situation. So,
and also, so far, we've advertised for a road foreman and a weed person, and we're going to keep it in the paper this week, so it'll go till next Friday. And there's 4 people that have applied for the road foreman job, and I believe 7 people have applied for the weed job.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
On this drainage issue, has there been any studies done on those farms to see if we can get the NRCS involved in this?
They have been contacted.
So we can do a hydraulic study to see how much water we've got coming off of there and where it needs to go?
NRCS has been contacted, but they said that they would run their own investigation and we have to run ours. So we did have the county surveyor out there. I don't know if Tim does hydraulic studies, or we'd have to have an engineer out there to look at that.
The NRCS office, in the past, and things have changed because I haven't been around for a while, but I know that I had studies done on some other roads that are in Dakota County, and the NRCS, or Papio, came in and helped design those areas for runoff and tubes and size and stuff like that. And that was south of Homer's where we did that. I can't remember the names of the roads, but that was back when Fred was still on. But there was a cost share to that where the county didn't have to bear all the costs. So I would think, not sure, but maybe there's still something there.
Something there that they can help us out with.
I'm no expert,
they have in the past.
If there was much of a rain, that tube isn't going to keep up with what they got going. But, we definitely need to figure out the amount of water coming.
And that's why you get the NRCS or the Papio involved in mm-hmm. it, because then they'll come out and they'll do a hydraulic study.
Yeah.
And they'll size those tubes accordingly to go under those roads.
Mm-hmm.
And I know they'll bear some of the costs of that. And they'll help the landowners also.
All right.
Well, and then that's another thing. There's that dam right there. So I did contact Thurston County because it's their dam, but it's always affecting our road.
Water.
So they're willing to open up conversation to see what we can do to make that better.
Okay.
So maybe when Jeff gets back, get
Brian's
Jeff
out.
And Brian and
take your mud boots.
Get Thurston County out there too, and see what. And Thurston County Highway Superintendent is, oh my goodness, I'm drawing a blank now. Dan Alexander from MEI. So he's been here before.
Yeah.
So pretty good to work with. So hopefully we can get all them issues resolved down there.
Just so you know, Brian, if that dam was constructed, then it was probably constructed through the NRCS funding. So there again, there should be some funding there if Thurston County is going to have anything to do with that dam.
Yeah, they. I contacted the NRD a couple months ago when they went back. Gosh, I think it was the 70s or 80s. And showed me all the paperwork that was involved in it. But as they said, this is about as clear as mud. So it'll take a little bit to work through it, but we'll see what we can do to make that whole area down there a little better.
And when we get closer with the interviews, we'll make sure we get a hold of you to make sure we'll find a time works for everybody.
All right. Thank you.
Anybody else? All right. Thank you. Teresa Grove, Health Department Quarterly Report.
Hello, everyone. Our immunization clinics are starting to slow down a little bit. We were doing a lot of Sioux Cities because Siouxland District Health was backed up for months, and so they were sending them over here, and so it's starting to slow down. And Siouxland's kind of cleared out their schedule. They added some nurses and added 300 appointments per month over there.
Oh, okay.
So
took a little pressure off over here?
A lot. But we did 414 kids last quarter, so
okay.
We had quite a chunk of kids. Two of our grants are going to end. One's ending at the end of January. Well, it did end Friday, monkeypox grant. And then our CDC health disparities grant's ending in June. We received a grant for $10,000 for Heartland Counseling to go into the schools to help with kids with anxiety, other mental health issues. So.
Oh, nice.
It was a good grant to get.
Yeah.
I'm hoping it grows. We were awarded $337,000 from the state of Nebraska that we did not apply for. They had some CDs or some COVID money sitting there, $8 million. They divided it amongst the health departments. They went by population. We ended up with that much money.
So what's the plan, or you're just kind of figuring it out?
We're still trying to figure it out. We have to have our work plan in and everything in by next week. We've been asking questions, trying to figure out what people are going to do with it. We can use it for infection control. We can buy PPE for the nursing homes. We don't know what we're going to do.
That's a lot of money.
It is a lot of money, and we only have until June of 26 to get rid of it.
Okay.
Teresa, can you help any of the rural fire departments with that money?
I don't know.
That would be a great question.
Yeah. I'll find out.
Because they need protective equipment, and they need stuff for when they're out on a call to help people, you know, health-wise.
I'll find out, because we're looking. I mean,
we're
trying to figure it out.
I know the fire departments are already short of funding when it comes to protective equipment and such.
No, I'll find out. Good call, Rick. We did partner with the Nebraska Cancer Coalition, so they're going to put our logo on a bunch of stuff and give us flyers that we can use to pass out.
Nice.
Yeah, so it was a good partnership, real good partnership. Any questions?
Other than that, everything running pretty good?
So far.
All right. Aurelio's on your board.
Yes.
Yes.
Wednesday. Our meeting. So. Okay.
All right. Very good.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Commissioner committee reports.
I don't have anything this time.
I had the Veterans Oversight Committee. We had met last Wednesday at the Legion there in South Sioux. Like I say, a great bunch of guys. Our veteran service officer is very highly spoken of by that group and the other veterans in our community. I just introduced it in to Rehelio today. Rick, if you get a chance, stop in and just stick your hand to Nick Neiman. He seems to be doing a great job for us. So,
Veteran Service been, Officer.
Yep. Yep.
I've met him.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a good egg. So that's the only thing I have. Mail or emergency business?
I just put in your guys' packets and I emailed them to you a letter from the Nebraska Judicial Branch where they're the legislature. Right now they're talking about the state taking the clerk of district court's office over. And then I had asked Kathy to give her 2 cents, so she did. The county would lose child support monies as well as passport monies and any other fees collected, like the 10% bond fees, etc. So really in favor of it.
With the state, you know, trying to cut at every turn, it amazes me that they would look at taking something else over.
That's one thing. And then just the Simcoe letter, and then the jail standards report. Put that in your packets too for you to review. They passed.
Mm-hmm. You taking all the credit for that, Randy?
Nope.
All right, Brian.
I'd like to make a motion to adjourn.
I guess we don't need to second that.
Should second it.
All right, thanks, everybody.